Hey, welcome to the sermon series from Life Church Green Bay. It's our mission to bring the life-giving message of Jesus to the 920 and beyond. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time joining us, we want to do life with you. While you're listening, fill out the hello card on our website so we can connect with you. Visit lifechurchgreenbay.com/hello to fill it out. Make sure to check the I'm new here and online options while filling out the card. Again, we're so glad you're with us today. Here's this week's message.
Good morning. I am so glad you guys are here with us. If you're watching online, I am so glad you're here as we are continuing in this series, getting through what you're going through, which has been a study of 1 Corinthians. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Sonny let it out that I assign who does what portion of scripture. And that is true. But what she didn't mention was, even though I assign them, I try to get out of the scripture that I'm doing today. Like I even like went to them and so I was like, hey, what do you guys think about me? Instead of doing this portion of scripture, I do this portion of scripture. And I really want them to say, yeah, do that portion. But Pastor Sonny, Pastor Keith are like, no, you gotta do this portion of scripture, which is the portion I originally assigned to myself. Now, I don't want you to think that this message is gonna be a downer and I'm gonna be complaining about, no. That push really encouraged me to dig deep in this message. And so I am so excited for this scripture. And so with that being said, let's jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And if you have not downloaded the Bible app, it is a great app. It's a great free app that you can get any version that you want. There's devotionals. But if you go to the More tab, go events, Life Church Green Bay, all the notes and all the scripture is going to be there for you. But also, if you want a physical Bible, we'd love to give you one on your way out at our info center. We have Bibles and devotionals that you can have for free. So I'm going to start reading in verse 1 out of the New Living Translation. It says this. Now, regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols. Yes, we know that we have all the knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all have that. We all know that that idol is not really a god and that there is only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords. But for us, there's only one God, the Father, from whom all things were created. And there's only one Lord Jesus, whom all things were created. And through him, we live. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciousnesses are violated. It's true. We can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. Verse 9 says, but you must be careful so that your freedom doesn't cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience and by eating the food that has been offered to an idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer from whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I'll never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. The title of my message this morning is called Getting Through the Hangups. Can we pray? Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for doing so many things in our lives and continuing to do so many things in our lives. And I pray, Lord, as we get into your word, I pray, Lord, that it would not be something that we just hear now and leave here, but we take it out into our world. We take it into our community, and it would strengthen our community to grow more and more in you and to reach more and more people for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was thinking about this scripture, I was reminded of a story that happened when I was a little kid. Now, I don't remember a lot. I was pretty young, but I do remember that my mother took me to a birthday party that her friend's daughter was having, and then we found out in the process that her friend's daughter's friend was also having a birthday party at the same time. That detail is going to make sense in a second. So we're at this kind of a Chuck E. Cheese kind of place where they have rides and games and all that fun stuff. And so I'm playing games, and all of a sudden I look around. I don't see my sisters. I don't see any friends. I don't see anyone I know. And so I go back to the table to find out that they already sang happy birthday and they're cutting into the cake. Now, I don't know why this bothered me, but because they already sang the song, I begin to lose it. I'm crying, I'm bawling, and this concerned my mom to the point where she went to the other table of people we didn't know, and she said, hey, is it okay if my son sits here and be's a part of you singing happy birthday? And they said yes. Now, I know, I just got the weird, like, whoa, that was weird. Listen, I was young. I was only like 17 years old, okay? Like, no, kidding. I was like 4 or 5. But you're not alone. Like, I'm embarrassed by this too because I made someone else's birthday about me. And I think that's what we could do sometimes when we look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians 8. We're like, no, I don't like those verses. Like, I don't like that because we think the verses are about us. In fact, Paul wasn't writing about some of us believers. He was writing about other believers. To sum up this chapter, Paul is encouraging believers to help other believers who are struggling to eat meat that was offered to idols. Now, I know this is hard for us to grasp because the last time I checked, I don't know if a lot of people are struggling with eating meat that was offered to idols. But this is more than just eating meat offered to idols, but it's helping people with things that they're hung up on. Now, the people in Corinth, they were very intelligent people. And I think that's why Paul is saying to them, don't let your superior knowledge, he's saying, don't allow your knowledge to get in the way of, you know, to correct or convince, to get in the way of connection, to get in the way of community. Because not eating meat, it wasn't a sin, it was a hangup. That's why in verse 8 it says it's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat, and we don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. And we're going to do life. Here's the thing. We're going to do life with people who have hangups. In fact, a lot of us probably have them. We're just a messy church. We're a church of people who are figuring out where God wants us, where we're currently at. And those people are going to have triggers, and they're going to have memories that take them back to a place that they don't want to revisit in the season they're in. There's going to be things we say or jokes we make or things we do or things we watch that make people want to go back to their old lives. So how do we, as Jesus people, help people who are hung up on things? Looking at this chapter, I think Paul brings three things that really stuck out to me that I think will help people as they're going through their hang-ups. So if you're taking notes, when believers are hung up on things, we need to lead, number one, passionately. Verse 1 says it. Now, regarding the question about food, yes, we have all the knowledge about this issue, but while knowledge makes us feel important, it's love that strengthens the church. So Paul is reminding us that the love that God birthed in you needs to come out of you, and we need to be passionate about the love of God. In Romans 12:10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I love that it says genuine affection. It means love people, like really love them. Love them genuinely. And that there's this honor, that we want to honor people and say, you know what? I know where you're coming from. And I don't want you to think that you need to come into church and act a certain way that's not the real you. I want you to be the real you. And I promise I'm going to love you. My love's going to be real. And I just need your lifestyle to be real. Because God can do amazing things when we are real and honest with him. He doesn't want us to be fake. How great was Bob Lentz last week, right? Like, I loved it. I thought he was so good. And I loved how loud the church got. Like, you guys were amening and getting loud. But it just shows that passion is contagious. And this dude was on stage going like, we have the good news. And we were like, yes, we do. And we do have the good news. The gospel is good news that we should be excited about. That we're no longer bound by sin. We're no longer bound by our past. We have freedom in him, and that's something we should get excited about. I love it. He said, we have the cure to the worst cancer, which is sin, and that cure is Jesus. And we got to be passionate about that. And that's the reality, is when we lead the way passionately, we're telling people, you know what? I know you're going through stuff, but I serve a God who can and will do all things. Yeah, I know you're hung up on that, but there's something in me and there's something in you that God wants to come out of you. Here's what Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. We have life-changing, life-altering power living in us that needs to come out of us. You have to understand that we should be passionate. Come on, yeah, we should be passionate, because being a Jesus person is not just behavior modification, but it's life transformation. God is transforming our lives. He's changing our lives. And so when we're around other believers who are hung up on something, we just have to lead passionately and believe, yes, I know you're stuck on that. Yes, I know you're dealing with that. I totally understand. And I thank God that we have a God who will do the impossible, because he's already done the impossible in my life and he's going to do it in your life. So instead of focusing on what people's hang up, lead passionately in the fact that we are forever free and our lives are forever transformed. Here's number two. We need to lead patiently. Verse 6 says, for us, there's one God, the Father, whom all things are created, and one Lord, whom all things are created. However, not all believers know this. They're accustomed to thinking idols are real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as worship of real gods, and their weak consciousnesses are violated. That word accustomed in the Greek is the word synethia, which means a practice or a habit. So thinking idols were real God was a practice. It was an everyday habit. It's all they knew. It's all they thought. It was all that was in their lives. And even though they've given their life to a real God, they're still in some habits that God is trying to break out of their lives. You know, there was a new study on habits where psychologists actually believe that it takes more than 21 days to break a habit. But on average, it could take up to 66 days. So we have to lead patiently. We have to believe and remember that there is power in progress. Rick Warren said, instead of thinking about how far they still have to go, think about how far they have come in spite of their hurts, in spite of their hangups, in spite of their triggers. They have gone farther than they even remember sometimes. It reminds me that marathons have more than just start and finish lines, but have mile markers. That those mile markers, as you're going, you're reminded, I am farther than I was, but I still got some ways to go. And that should motivate us as people when we see people going through stuff. You're like, yeah, you're going through this, but man, I remember you used to go through that. And that mindset should get us more prone to do life with people. Because man, I've been around people who had wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And now they're serving him with all their heart and all their life. I know people who used to curse Jesus and turn their back on him. And now they're living a life for him. Yes, they're not where they want to be, but they're way further than where they used to be. And we have to remember, don't get irritated with those hangups. Remind yourself, yeah, but you used to be a lot different. You used to not be fun to hang out with. Used to be, you know what, and now you're not. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm believing that God's gonna do, you know what? I need to be around you more, because I see God glorified in your life over and over. And it reminds me that I gotta keep pursuing God over and over, because he's not just transforming your life, he's transforming my life. We want people to keep coming. We don't want people to leave. And so as believers, we need to lead the way, say, no, keep going. I know the enemy's gonna tell you that you're so far gone, that you're so far away, but God is doing so much in your lives. Don't quit, don't give up. God has so much more for you, and I'm gonna be here to help you and encourage you and not lose faith in you. Here's number three. We need to lead the way personally. Verse 13 says, so if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I'll never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. Now, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't a fan of this verse for many years because I love to eat meat. Like, I love it. And I remember reading this verse going, wait a minute. So you're saying if I have a believer that's like a vegetarian or a vegan, I'm like, I'm done with meat. Like, can they just like change their mind? God, can you transform their palate? Like, what's, why? And God reminded me that he's called me to love people more than possessions. That he's called me to love the person more than the hang up. To love where God's gonna take him more than my preference. And so if this person, if what they eat or what they see or the jokes that may be said causes them to stumble, I care more about them than what that thing is, what that possession is. Because the question that Paul is asking is what I'm doing causing people to sin? Because causing people to sin will go back to the habits. Causing people to sin could get them to a place where they actually turn their back on God, and that's not what I want. So if there's something I'm doing or something I'm saying or a mindset I'm having that's causing people to sin, then I don't want to do it ever again because I care more about you than that possession. I love the CEV version of Romans 12:10 where it says, love each other as brothers and sisters and honor others more than you do yourself. So we found out a couple years ago that our son hates fireworks. Like we were kind of iffy one July 4th because he like lost his mind, but like it was really solidified when we went to Disney World. You know, because at the end of the night, you know, they have this big fireworks celebration. Tinkerbell comes down. It's awesome. But you would have thought the fireworks were being aimed at us the way my son was losing. He was like, ah, like people were like, wow. And he's like, no, like he was. And so we're in the stroller and we're moving out of the way. And you're thinking we're like getting attacked. We're like, excuse me, come on, let's go. Come on, let's get out of here. They're coming for us. And as we get away, we kind of look at our daughters and say, you know, well, your brother hates fireworks. Now, we weren't saying that we're never gonna watch fireworks again. We just knew we were gonna have to make adjustments because he hates fireworks. Now, fast forward to celebrate the pier that happened last year, which was great. First time I ever went. So many people, so many fun things, but we knew a fireworks celebration was gonna be at the end. And as the sun's coming down and people are starting to put their blankets, one of my daughters says, Dad, the fireworks are gonna start. We should probably get out of here. And we're like, no, it's okay. We've made some adjustments. Mom's gonna take Logan home. We're gonna stay home. And they go, no, it's okay. Let's go home together. And so we're in the car and I said, you know, I'm just thanking my girls. I said, hey, I really thank you for, you know, choosing to come home with us. And their response broke me. They said, he's my brother. And I love him more than I love fireworks. God has called us to love believers as brothers and sisters, where we get to the point where I say, I love you more than I love that possession. I love you more than I love that thing. And I'm not going to allow that to get in the way. So yes, I know you're struggling with that, but I'm not going to turn my back on you. Because God has a plan for your life. He has a place for your life. He is taking you new places. And you as a person, I care more about you than that thing. And I thank God that there were people in my life. There were people in my life that didn't watch certain things because of me. That didn't listen to certain things or do certain things because they knew I had hangups. They knew I had addictions. And I'm so glad that they did that because them choosing to lead personally helped me go from thinking I was gonna forever be enslaved by this habit to being totally free from it and helping others with it. And God wants to do that in all of our lives. We just have to be brothers and sisters in Christ who go along with people, who pick them up and say, you're not quitting. You're not giving up. I know you had a bad week. I know you want to go back to that addiction. I know you want to go back to that place. I know you want to go back to that relationship. But God has a call on your life. He has a place for you. And he is taking you new places. And he wants to continue to transform your life. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Allow God to come and transform you. That's why community has to not be optional. It's got to be something that we're doing continual. Because there's people who need you not to let them quit. I want to close with this. I want to go back to a story that I said at the beginning about the birthday party. Because I'm going to be honest. Like, I was pretty embarrassed about it to the point where I was like, I don't want to put this in my message. It's going to make me come off weird. And I felt like the Holy Spirit, like, well, first of all, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this story where I was like, I totally forgot. But he like really encouraged me. And I thought at the beginning, I was like, well, wait a minute. Maybe it's because, you know, I was selfish. I thought of myself over the other people, just like sometimes we can think about 1 Corinthians 8. But as I was chewing on this message and I was kind of studying, I was reminded that there's two parts to the story. Yes, I was hung up on missing the birthday party song. But there's also my mom's portion. Because my mom, I mean, she could have corrected me. She could have ignored me. She could have like threatened me, like low key, like you better stop right now or I'm gonna give you something relevant. Like she could have done all those things. But she actually, what she did is she took me to a place that may have been uncomfortable for her. It may have been odd for her, but in the end it gave me peace. I stopped crying. I enjoyed singing happy birthday to a total stranger. But here's what I know. God is the creator of peace. God has peace that goes beyond understanding. And so as believers, when we're hung up on things, instead of correcting them, instead of ignoring them, instead of threatening them, you better stop it right now or you're gonna go to another church. How about we get out of our comfort zone and we bring him to the God of peace, to where people are hung up, instead of saying, knock it off. We say, you know what, let's just pray right now. Let's just pray. Because the scripture says that when we pray about everything, that we will get peace that goes beyond understanding. So let's just pray. That when people are hung up on things, you go, man, I don't know what you're going through, but I know I have a word that changes and transforms us. And so can I give you a scripture? Can I give you a word that could be your foundation that you can stand on? And so when you are struggling, when you want to quit, when you want to give up, can I give you a scripture that you can remind yourself? Because this is not more than a book. It is God breathed. It is alive and active, and it wants to be alive and active in your life. Can I bring you to that word? It's because of those moments that we can bring people to a place where they can have peace. And again, that's why we have to do community. Because there's people who are going through things and today was gonna be their last day. I believe right now, and this is in my notes, that people are like, all right, I'll give that church a try. But if they say something I don't like or do something I don't like, I'm out. And they need that believer who is led by the Holy Spirit to go to them and say, hey, don't quit. Don't give up. I know the world is beating you up. I know things are happening in your life that you want to just go back to the lifestyle because it's comfortable, but it wasn't easy. And I know that sometimes the world will tell you that living for Jesus is hard, but you'll get so much peace and strength in it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. I believe when we start being people who go beyond ourselves and start doing life with others, we will see revival. We will see a church change that will then cause a city to change, that will cause a state to change, that will cause a nation to change. Because we're going not with knowledge, we're strengthening the church with love. A love for others that is passionate. A love for others that is patient. A love for others that is personal. And we're saying, I know where you're at, but I believe God's gonna take you to new places because he's done it in my life. So we're gonna be people who do communion with people personally and patiently, and we're not gonna go to rejection and condemnation anymore. Can I pray with you? Here's what I love about Jesus. He gave us salvation, and salvation is, it doesn't make us just good people. It transforms and changes our life. It changes our life to a place where we didn't think we could think or respond or walk this way. But that's what happens when you welcome the Savior of the world into your life. See, what he did 2,000 years ago is, yes, he lived a sinless life, and he spoke great messages, and he did miracles. And yes, he went to the cross to die for our sins, but he overcame death and the grave. And he did that to bring the bridge between us and God, where now we can be righteous, which is right standing. And all we have to do is say, you know what? I want to go beyond believing. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Lord, mean I want to give you control. And Savior, mean I want you to save me from all the sins that have brought me guilt and shame and have caused me to turn away and not turn towards you. So if that's you in here, everyone head bowed, eyes closed. And if you're saying, I've never made that decision. Yes, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I've never made him my Lord and Savior, and I want to do that right now. We're going to do one of two things. One is I just going to have you raise your hand and look at me. Why do we do that? Because it's a public declaration that I need Jesus and I want people to know. And then as a church, we're going to say a prayer together. That's a confirmation that I'm welcoming him in. So if that's you and you're needing that today, you don't want another day to go by without him being the center of your life. Can I just have you raise your hand and look at me? Thank you, thank you. Yep, thank you. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, over there. Come on, let's go. Thank you, over here. Anyone else I'm missing? Church, can we say this prayer together? Say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. For going to the cross for my sins. Lord, please forgive me. Change my life. Transform me. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, here's the thing, we want to help you. We want to get you from where you are, where God wants to be. So if you could fill out that card for us and just check that you're choosing to follow Jesus, we want to help you on this Jesus journey. Understanding the Bible, understanding prayer, understanding community. But the biggest thing we want you to do is stay in community, because the enemy's going to tell you the decision you made was emotional and not real, but it is real. Because the Bible says when you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose you from the dead, you will be saved. Not if, will. But community is going to help you to grow, because you're going like, I don't even know what to do next. We want to help you with that. And we have so many things we do. You can go to our website, lifechurchgreenbay.com, and go to groups. And there's something happening every day this week and next week that we'd love for you to be a part of. Hey, can I pray with you one more time? Maybe you're in here saying, you know what, Pastor Dallas, I am a Jesus person, but man, I am dealing with some hangups that I don't want to hang me up anymore. And I want God to help me, and I want God to mature me, and I want God to lead me out of these hangups. If that's you, can I just have you raise your hand real quick? Church, you're not alone. Keep them up real quick. You're not alone. That's why we do community, because the enemy would tell you you are alone, but if you look around, you're not alone. There's people dealing with stuff, and there's people who are a little ashamed to do it right now, and that's fine. But that's why we need to be in each other's lives. So Lord, right now, for these brave hands, I pray, Jesus, that we would be people, Lord, who would not allow hangups to keep us from freedom, that we would not allow hangups to keep us from a life transformation. And I pray, Lord, that we would get away out of our insecurities and our excuses and be a part of a community of believers that we could be real and vulnerable with and allow them to help us passionately, patiently, and personally. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. Follow our other podcasts so you can be updated when new episodes are released. We have a wide variety of podcasts to choose from. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next week.